treating her husband. She realized that when her son became a husband, if his wife treated him with such anger and contempt, his spirit would be crushed and he would shut down in defeat. When she heard it put this way, a completely new view surfaced. She saw herself more clearly than ever before, and she vowed to change. This lady is a vivid example of many wives who come to our conferences. They have mixed emotions. They love their husbands, yes, but respect them? No. That is why we constantly encourage wives to ask themselves one question. Is what I'm about to say or do going to come across as respectful or disrespectful?
This prevents a wife from misrepresenting her heart by coming across too negatively.
This whole idea of the male need for respect is new information to many women. In seminar sessions, women sit in disbelief when I tell them that Scripture commands wives to give their husbands unconditional respect. I understand their confusion. They are so wired to love, and the culture has so radically enforced this whole idea of love, 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 that they don't really know the men they are married to. In fact, they often respond, "This is totally foreign to me." And that's exactly the problem. When a wife does not speak respect language, after a while her husband isn't interested in communicating. Who wants to keep talking to someone who doesn't speak your language? So the husband goes quiet and walks away. Even though wives are told that husbands feel my wife doesn't respect me, their response is, "What's that got to do with anything?" The answer, quite obviously, is everything. It is high time for women to start discovering how their husbands really feel. One wife was shocked when she asked her husband, "Do you want me to tell you that I love you or that I respect you?" Without hesitation, he replied, "Respect." She couldn't believe her ears. She had never realized that though he needed her love, what he lacked was assurance of her respect. Learning this is hard on many a wife, and I'm sorry that they have to feel everything from amazement to shame. And no one is trying to shame wives. On the contrary, our love and respect message is designed to help wives see that their big, powerful husbands are really in need of something that wives can give, respect. When a husband receives unconditional respect toward his spirit, again, not toward bad behavior, but when he receives that respectful demeanor coming at his spirit from your spirit, even though you're confronting him on things that are unacceptable, he actually can have fond feelings of affection in his heart, and he will return. He will start giving her the kind of love she has always hoped to receive. So that's it. I need respect. But not all men are conscious of their need for respect. Even significant leaders, adept at assessing many different people in many different situations, are not always in touch with why they react the way they do in their marriages. I had lunch with a man who ran for the United States Senate, and as I explained the love and respect connection, he said, "Now that you put it this way, that is exactly how I feel. That's it. I want respect." A CEO of a large company attended our conference, and as he reflected on what he had heard, he realized he was reacting to his wife because he felt disrespected. He started voicing this to her, and though it created some tension for a while, it eventually resulted in a deeper understanding between them. In his words, "It helps me and her. When I humbly voice my feelings, we both know what's going on, instead of me just being moody and withdrawing. Now, as she seeks to understand me, her appeal to me to understand her need for love really makes sense. It feels fair." I have an acquaintance who has a PhD in educational psychology. As he went over the Crazy Cycle material with me, he said, "That is exactly what I feel when things get heated between my wife and me. For years, it was something I was feeling deep down, but wasn't in tune with. I was reacting all right, but neither of us knew why." The common thread in what these three men said is that they couldn't articulate their need for respect, but once it was pointed out, they understood. Early on, they quite possibly may have thought to themselves at times, "I don't deserve this disrespect." But they soon suppressed those feelings. This is quite typical of today's male because the culture has told them that it isn't right to express feelings of being disrespected. And if he dared to do so, his wife would not accept it, because to her, he would sound arrogant. Another thing that may stop a man from voicing his need for respect is hearing from his wife, "You don't deserve my respect." With his vocabulary rejected as archaic and his attitude criticized as arrogant, it doesn't take long for a male to file away his essential need for respect in a compartment labeled, "Do not bring up," and there it will stay. But if another woman admires him, then look out. As one wife shared after her husband strayed into an affair, "I realized that my husband had cheated with this woman, not because of her looks or her personality, or because she was anything so great, but rather because she was his captive audience. She thought he hung the moon. Every remark he made to her was witty. Everything he did was perfect. In her eyes, he was the most handsome, intelligent, funny man in the world. He needed an ego boost, and she was ready and willing to be that for him." Are love and respect the same thing? There are many wives who tell me, "Respect and love are the same thing," and I respond, "No, they aren't." And you know they aren't. For instance, you respect your boss, but you don't love your boss. I have been in counseling sessions with couples, and with her mate sitting there listening, the wife will readily say, "I love my husband, but don't feel any respect for him." But when I turn this around and ask the wives how they would feel if they would hear their husband say, "I respect you, but don't love you," they are horrified. They exclaim, "I would be devastated." I asked one wife, "How long would it take you to get over that?" She quickly answered, "Forever." The typical wife would be up in arms if she heard, "I respect you, but don't love you." That is taboo. She would view her husband as a very unloving human being. Yet the same wife feels she can readily say to him, "I love you, but don't respect you." What she doesn't understand is that her husband is equally devastated by her comment, and it also takes him forever to get over it. The bottom line is that husbands and wives have needs that are truly equal. She needs unconditional love, and he needs unconditional respect. All this should be obvious, right? Almost every time Sarah and I teach our seminar about the love and respect connection, people tell us, "Why, of course, this is so obvious." And then either the husband or the wife adds, "But why doesn't my spouse get it?" Whether it's a husband or a wife who doesn't get it, the answer is the same. We often don't see the obvious. A door-to-door salesman rang the bell and waited. A boy who looked about 10 years old answered. He was smoking the biggest cigar the salesman had ever seen. After a few seconds of stunned silence on the salesman part, he finally asked, "Is your mother home?" The 10-year-old puffed a couple times, blew smoke in the salesman's face, and said, "What do you think?" And that's the point. If the salesman had been thinking at all, he would have known that mother wasn't at home. But for some reason, we don't always think, particularly when something is shocking or distracting. When a wife feels unloved, it can be such a shock to her heart that she's oblivious to her disrespectful reactions toward her husband, though any man watching could see it plainly. When a husband feels disrespected, it can provoke him so quickly he doesn't see his unloving reaction, which would be obvious to any woman. Words of wisdom for all husbands and wives are these: we easily see what is done to us before we see what we are doing to our mate. When sorting out how to slow down the crazy cycle, it helps to remember that men are commanded to love because they don't love naturally. And on the other side, women are commanded to respect because they don't respect naturally. If the love and respect connection is to make sense and work in a marriage, the wife in particular must conquer any feelings about her husband needing to earn her respect. I've counseled many wives who love to love, but they do not love to respect. When these women feel unloved, often they will try to improve the situation with even more love. That's natural. But when these women feel unloved, it is hard for them to show respect. That's unnatural. They act disrespectfully. But they don't really want to. They're merely reacting to their built-in feelings. Not realizing how contemptuous she sounds, a wife might say, "He's blowing this respect thing out of proportion. He's too sensitive. My scolding and sour look stay. That's who I am at times. He needs to get over it. This is his problem." But of course, It isn't his problem, it's their problem. How would this wife feel if her husband would say, "You're blowing this love thing out of proportion. You're just too sensitive. You're always telling me I'm too harsh. You need to get over it." Husbands, of course, also have their work cut out for them. Because they are feeling disrespected, they can lose sight of the heart of their wives. It is easy to lose fond feelings of affection in the face of what appears to be contempt. But is her goal to emasculate you? Not if she is a good-willed woman. Even if she is unfairly nasty, this is no excuse for a man of honor to refuse to obey God's command to love his wife. I believe the men who are reading this book are men of honor, and my appeal to them is this: love your wife. Always try to see what is in her deepest heart. If a husband has any honor and goodwill at all, he must step up to the plate and start figuring out this business of being loving. And he must conquer any fears he may have of her contempt. Her criticisms may not be contempt at all. They are simply her way of crying, "Please love me." When a husband can decode that cry and respond to his wife with understanding and love, he will experience the joy of a fair and balanced approach to marriage, and those fond feelings of affection will return. I've talked to many men who say they want to try but are clueless as to how to go about it. Fortunately, there are plenty of clues, which I'm always happy to share with any husband who's willing to listen, learn, and then change his approach to his wife. See especially chapters 5 to 7, as well as chapters 8 to 14. Married couples are at a crossroads. Today, married couples are at a crossroads. Will she appreciate her husband's need for respect, or will she denounce his feelings? Will she discover that the best way to love a husband is by respecting him in ways that are meaningful to him? Or will she focus totally on what she feels is the key to a happy marriage, her womanly feelings, and dismiss his needs as antiquated or male arrogance? At the same time, will the husband appreciate his wife's need for love, or just continue to ignore her feelings? Will he discover the best way to love a wife is to look beyond her criticisms and complaints, to see why she isn't feeling loved? Or will he just cower before her apparent contempt and retreat to the shelter of his stone wall? Increasing numbers of couples who are at the crossroads are taking the right fork, the one labeled love and respect. One wife, a strong-minded career woman, wrote to tell us of how she and her husband were using the love and respect connection concepts, and that their crazy cycle is slowing down and has all but stopped. She wrote, "My husband was able to see that when he would withdraw, often because I was disrespectful, I would feel abandoned or unloved. So I would go after him with a vengeance that would make a warrior cower, which would disrespect him and hurt him deeply, causing him to withdraw even more severely, the whole crazy cycle. But he, for the first time, was willing to see that he had acted unlovingly. He was able to own some part of it. I think he was able to see that I was more delicate, even though I try really hard to sell my strength to everyone, including him, and that I do need him and want his support and strength. I asked him to forgive me for being so disrespectful. We have been talking, and things have been gradually changing. Mutual understanding is setting in." At some points in this chapter, I may sound as if I'm trying to hammer the wives on their lack of unconditional respect for their husbands. But I'm not trying to hammer wives. I'm trying to help them, because I know how pivotal the wife's respect can be in slowing down the crazy cycle. Yes, many men are unloving clods to one degree or another, but they can change. In fact, many of them want to change, and the best way to get them to change is treating them with unconditional respect. In our conferences and counseling situations, we deal constantly with husbands and wives who quickly grasp the concept of the crazy cycle. They would like to get off as soon as possible. But there are still a few reservations. They have been spinning for so long, they wonder, can this stuff really work? In chapter 5, we will start looking at answers to some typical questions and give practical advice for stopping the crazy cycle. Chapter 5. She fears being a doormat. He's tired of just not getting it. I've counseled many wives who want to try the unconditional respect approach, but they're still not totally convinced that, it'll work.
That old, you know, the rat needs to earn my respect attitude dies hard. And I've counseled many husbands who truly want to be loving men. They're willing to try, but are wary of looking like unloving fools again. Questions from wives and husbands who want to try to stop the crazy cycle, or at least slow it down, usually focused in three general areas. Number one, she wonders, won't I wind up just being a doormat? He wonders, why can't she just see I'm tired of hearing you just don't get it? Number two, she thinks, but if I don't really feel respectful, I'll be a hypocrite. He thinks, I get no respect, so what's the use? Number three, she thinks, can I really ever forgive him? And he thinks, I blew it again, but nobody can love that woman. I want to deal with all these reservations to show husbands and wives that while these concerns are typical and natural, there are answers that can give them courage and motivation to start using the love and respect connection to stop the crazy cycle. As we will see, in each of these areas, the wife's concern is a mirror image of her husband's concern in many ways. Who should make the first move? But before we start, there is one critical question for husband and wife to consider. As we think about stopping the crazy cycle, who makes the first move? As a wife, whatever you do, don't say, Emerson is right. I need your love. So start loving me and I'll show you respect. That simply won't work because that attitude is in itself disrespectful and it triggers an unloving reaction. You are making your husband responsible for both the love and respect in the marriage. He will simply shut down. On the other side, as a husband, never say, Emerson's right. If you respect me, all will be well and I will be more loving. That won't work either, because that attitude is in itself unloving and it triggers a disrespectful reaction. You are making your wife responsible for both the love and the respect in the marriage. She will simply shut down. So who should make the first move? In our marriage conferences, I explained that I prayed about this, and here is the answer God gave me. The one who sees himself or herself as the most mature. You see, you can't wait for your spouse to go first, even though it's preferable. All of us want our spouse to be the first to start doing the respecting or the loving. But can you afford to wait passively for this to happen, like some kind of neutral bystander? Can a husband wait for his wife to respect him before he becomes more loving? Can a wife wait for a husband to really love her so she will then show him respect? The fear, of course, is that you will show love or respect to your spouse, as the case may be, and get a bad response. So you tend to pull back, waiting for the other person to move first. But what are your options? Holding back your love or respect will just keep the crazy cycle spinning away. But be mature, and making the first move could slow it down. Think about it this way. It is absolutely ineffective for a husband to shout, I'm not loving that woman until she starts respecting me. It is pointless for a wife to scream, I'm not respecting him until he starts loving me. Taking the role of the mature mate and moving first may be risky, but it is very powerful. Rarely can you lose. Think about it. You know if your spouse acted first, you would respond positively. Knowing that, do you really believe that your spouse doesn't have enough goodwill to react lovingly or respectfully if you make the first move? When you touch your spouse's deepest need, something good almost always happens. The key to energizing your spouse is meeting your spouse's heartfelt desire. In this chapter, and in chapters 6 and 7, we will be looking at three general areas of concern held by husbands and wives who would like to stop the crazy cycle but still have a few reservations. The first concern is one we hear a lot in our conferences. The wife fears that unconditionally respecting her husband will guarantee that she will wind up being a doormat. Not a doormat, but a woman with power. As I encourage some wives to use unconditional respect, I can tell they suspect that I'm a chauvinist in sheep's clothing trying to set them up for a life of subservience. I remind such a wife to be patient. I'm trying to help her to get her husband to love her more, not run roughshod over her. When I talk about respecting your husband, I do not mean being a doormat. I do not mean burying your brains, never showing your leadership ability, or never disagreeing in the slightest way. I do not mean that he is superior and you are inferior in some way. Nor do I want you to ignore your hurts and vulnerabilities. Despite my assurances, though, some wives fear that taking a respectful attitude during a conflict with their husbands will render them powerless. These women do not believe a husband will change into a loving man unless he is awakened to his flaws. And the only way he will awaken to his inadequacies and faults is to hear his wife's grumblings, corrections, and contempt. One wife confessed, "I would listen in on phone conversations or conversations in a group of people to correct any misstatements he might make." Another wife admitted mothering her husband. As mothers, it is built into us to be instructors. That's a major part of motherhood. But it is extremely difficult to differentiate our roles between mother and wife. For instance, when baby comes along, dad seems at a loss as to what to do, and we instruct dad. Over time, we start instructing in many areas. The typical wife knows instinctively that correcting and mothering her husband are not good ways to approach him. But what else can she do? If she keeps winning battles this way, it could help her win the war of changing him into the kind of man she feels he ought to be. She keeps on using negativity because she feels empowered by it. She thinks it gets through to him. She knows being nice doesn't get through to him because he just seems to ignore that. Her disrespect gets his attention, and she seems to win the skirmishes, which are usually about the same problems: being late, working too much, poor parenting, insensitivity, etc. But none of these problems is the root of the issue. Lack of love and respect is the heart of it all. As John Gottman observes, the major goal is to break the cycle of negativity. One wife confessed, "Most people would label me one of the happiest, most positive people I know. But then something happens behind closed doors. I can yell and scream and rant on about little issues forever." Unfortunately, the wife who feels empowered by negativity isn't even aware she needs to break that cycle. But she may sense that her criticisms don't motivate him to be more loving. So she tries to apologize after an argument or a conflict. He may accept her apology because he knows she's a good-willed woman who feels badly. But as the crazy cycle spins again the next month or next week, and then continues in a distinct pattern, he begins to believe that she has contempt for him as a human being, that she secretly despises him. Because he is confused, he doesn't ask the question, "Don't you respect me?" for fear she'll say, "No, I don't, frankly." That frightens him, so he avoids it. As a result, she gets locked into disrespect as a way of communicating her irritation and goading him to change. But over the course of the marriage, something slowly dies between them. She wins the battles, but deep down she knows she is losing the war. What if you're afraid to take the risk? But suppose she attends a love and respect conference and learns what can happen if she begins showing her husband unconditional respect. She sees a glimmer of hope, but possibly she is afraid to take the risk. I talk to many wives who find themselves in this state of mind after hearing our message for the first time. A wife wrote, "I'm willing to try this approach as a key to improve our marriage relationship. It's a risk because I do not know what my husband's response will be. I'm holding God's hand and trusting him." To this dear woman, and to all others like her, I say taking the risk is the way to achieving your goal. If a wife can trust her husband's basic goodwill and his good intentions, even though he may be acting unloving at times, she can turn her marriage around, as the following reports testify. One woman wrote to admit she was sad because she had been married 22 years and was just starting to understand the love and respect message. She said, "I wrote my husband two letters about why I respect him. I'm amazed at how it has softened him and his response to me. I have prayed for years that my husband would love me and speak my love language. But when I begin to speak his language, then he responds with what I wanted." Another wife who had attended our love and respect conference with her husband wrote, "I am nearly in shock at the changes in my husband in the last several days. To give you some background, we had a major fight last January and round two came in May. That was when he told me he didn't know how he felt about me and didn't know what our future was together. Talk about a crazy cycle. We had jumped on and were running to our death. The thing that struck me was your comment that a man can feel the loss of respect so deeply but not be able to give voice or vocabulary as to what is wrong. As a man who is not given to voicing his emotions much on a good day, I believe this is how my husband was affected. He was able to tell me I had pushed him too hard, but I didn't understand what button I had pushed. As a result, a lot of my efforts to reach out over the last 6 months backfired. So, on New Year's Eve, I left the card in his lunchbox. Nothing mushy, just a "You give me many reasons to smile" message, to which I added, "And many things about you I respect." Then I said, "Thanks for Christmas and Happy New Year." The next day he got up from the table and brought a chair for me. This last Sunday he suggested going to a movie in the evening, sat and talked before the movie started, proposed going to a musical in town next week. In general, he has been much more open and communicative. While it would be simplistic and untrue to say all our problems are magically solved, there is a bridge between us that did not exist a week ago. I've yet to hear the L word from his lips, but his actions are such that I know it still exists in his heart, and I intend, with God's help, to fan that flame as much as possible. Following are comments from three different women who have also discovered the power of respecting their husbands. "I didn't know something from God could be so easy. I have believed in God my whole life, but I was not taught this before. But it does make so much sense. If you respect your husband, he will love you. It may not always be in the ways I love him, but he does in his own special way. I thank God every day for letting me learn this." Another woman, "I was so in the dark about a man's number one need being respect, even over love. Now, instead of just telling him that I love him, I have begun telling him what I appreciate and admire about him. He eats it up." Another gal, "A close friend called to tell me God wanted me to listen to what you were saying about respect. My husband and I have gone to numerous marriage conferences and read many books together, but nothing remotely like this has ever been mentioned. I think this is the key to understanding my husband and to a joyful marriage. It is amazing what God does when you obey him." All these wives have gotten it. They have decoded the messages their husbands were sending. They have learned how vulnerable a man can be to a wife's anger and contempt. Best of all, they have adjusted their pink sunglasses and pink hearing aids and are aware that when a wife respects her husband, she does not become a doormat. In fact, he starts rolling out the red carpet for her. But what about husbands who need to adjust their blue sunglasses and blue hearing aids and do their part to make the love and respect connection? I've talked to many men who would be willing to try, but they feel clueless about how to begin. Look at their problems below. Husbands, remember only one idea: love. In the last few years, I've counseled with not a few men who say they are tired of hearing the relentless mantra, "You men just don't get it, you're stupid." They admit they don't grasp certain things, but being labeled Neanderthal and caveman is demeaning and discouraging. If the cave existed, these men would favor going there to hide. They would agree with the biblical proverbs that say it is better for a disrespected man to live in the corner of the roof or in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Proverbs 21:9 and also verse 19. As one husband plaintively but aptly put it, "I have spent the last 20 years literally consumed with trying to figure out what is going on in our marriage." I sympathize with these husbands because there were plenty of times in the last 30 years when I felt the same way. But I want to remind all husbands that their wives are basically good-willed women. They are only acting critical, contentious, and disrespectful because they're crying out for love. The honorable husband who is man enough to try to turn things around must learn how to respond when he's feeling disrespected and offended. He must learn what to do in the face of his wife's negative reactions and accusations that he is unloving. The good news is that the husband need only focus on two questions. First, he must ask, "Is my wife coming across to me disrespectfully because she's feeling unloved?" Good things are in store when he learns to decode his wife's deepest cry, "Please love me." To do this decoding, a husband must ask himself what his wife has against him, why she feels rejected and even abandoned. The husband may or may not completely decode the wife's message, but the point is he will be trying to understand her, not attack her back. Second, a husband must ask, "Will what I say or do next come across as loving or unloving to my wife?" In Genesis 29 and 30, we read of the marriage of Jacob and Rachel. First, they were madly in love. He was willing to work 7 years for her, and it only seemed as if it were a few days. Then, after being tricked by his uncle Laban into marrying Rachel's sister, Leah, Jacob was required to work 7 more years before Rachel could become his wife. But when Leah had children and Rachel didn't,
Rachel became jealous and confronted Jacob, pleading, "Give me children or else I die." Genesis 30, verse 1. Instead of comforting Rachel, Jacob got angry and said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Instead of getting angry, Jacob could have tried to decode Rachel's demand. Was she really expecting him to be in the place of God? Or was she ventilating her inner pain over her barrenness and the social struggle she was having with her sister to be closest to Jacob's heart? As a husband, I'm always seeking to decode what my wife is feeling. Suppose Sarah confronts me in a way that leaves me feeling offended, disrespected, or described as unloving. I can react defensively and say, "Women, who can ever understand them?" Or, because I know the crazy cycle is always ready to spin, I can realize Sarah's actually crying out to me. She needs me. She isn't trying to emasculate me. True, when I feel offended, it just goes against my natural grain for me to say, "Oh, I get it. Sarah wants me to love her." But I know that is precisely what is going on because I'm sure I'm married to a good-willed woman. She isn't deliberately trying to be disrespectful and contemptuous. She is simply letting me know that I've stepped on her air hose again, and she needs my love more than ever. This husband decoded in jail. One husband learned how to decode his wife the hard way. Here's how he described his epiphany experience. "On a Saturday evening, I threw a dish in anger that hit my wife in the face and left a small cut. She called the police and I was handcuffed and taken off to jail. A magistrate thought it best for me to sit out the weekend there and held me over on a lot of bond. I wouldn't pay it. And after about 4 hours on a steel cot, the novelty wore off and I really started to think hard about why I was there. With nothing to read, no place to go, and not able to sleep anymore, I basically paced and prayed for 2 days. One single scripture stayed in my mind the whole time. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. For 2 days, God replayed the memories I had of our arguments, and in each one, I was acutely aware of how I had failed to love my wife. It was like pausing a video and having someone point to it and say, "See, right here you could have reached out to her and reassured her, but you were too busy trying to prove your point." At one point, I was seeing her face all distorted with rage as she screamed at me, but totally without any sound. The mute button had been pushed on this memory, and then little by little the sound came up so I could hear it. Only the words were not what my wife had been screaming at me. Instead, they were replaced with other words that I needed to hear. "I want you to love me. Why won't you love me? I'm afraid and insecure, and I need you to hold me and love me." And that's when I began to weep. All this time, I had been so totally wrapped up in my own needs to demand respect, to be right at any cost, to win a petty argument. This hurt our priceless relationship. I had been so caught up in the words that I totally missed her heart, her need. This was my epiphany, and this is why Scripture commands me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. In my conversations with men since then, I have seen the color drain from their faces as I tell them about my experience, and I see the dawning of their own awareness as they realize how they've blown it too. We need this command, but not many of us know just how badly. Anyway, God sat me down for 2 days in jail, took away all of the distractions, and forced me to look at myself in a way I had never done before. By the end of it, I had been totally emotionally ruined and rebuilt. And I could hardly wait to get home and share with my wife what God had shown me. My last evening in my cell, I was freer than I'd ever been. I knew the Lord had spoken to me, and I knew I was going to do something about it, first in my own marriage, and then in others, if the Lord allowed. Although the husband and wife reconciled, the court ordered him to attend domestic violence counseling, which he was happy to do. He waited over a year after his experience to validate the changes in his life, and then with the blessing of his pastor, he began to invite other men to discuss the topic of marriage with him. Now he and his wife meet with couples who come to them with domestic issues like the ones they had. He adds, "I'll forever be grieved at what I did to my wife, and forever grateful for what he has done for our marriage since." There are many reasons I like this man's story, but perhaps best of all is that the wife was the first one to contact us when she ordered our resources to learn more about unconditionally respecting her husband. In her email request, she said absolutely nothing about the abusive incident. She only wrote that she was
mightily convicted about my need for learning this vital aspect of my wifely role. My husband has a men's Bible study where naturally the focus is on loving and leading your wife God's way. There is a dearth of material on the other important aspect of a godly marriage, namely wives and respect. Lots on submission, but not much on respect. My husband and I have been married very badly and without God, and we are committed to making our relationship one that honors and glorifies His presence and grace in our lives. There was not one hint of how she took a dish in the face and how he had to go to jail. I was curious about the kind of Bible study her husband was conducting, so I emailed him and asked him to explain what he was doing and why. That's when he told me the whole story about hitting his wife, going to jail, and figuring things out as he paced up and down in his cell. What a woman. What a man. He had changed so much that she yearned to do her part, and now they work together to help other marriages. Can a husband understand? In a serious conflict, if a husband reassures his wife that he truly loves her in spite of the argument, and he avoids, like the plague, sending the message, "I don't love you," all will be fine. One man wrote to tell us how he finally learned to decode. Later that night, in my mind, I went over what she said and what you taught. I prayed for wisdom. By this time, a good deal of the hurt had worn off. I've been through this many times before. But this time, there was something different. There was a peace and a reassurance I had not felt before, as if the Holy Spirit were saying, "Stay calm, don't push it, just relax." And I did. I did not sleep very well at all that night and spent a lot of time thinking. It was then I was able to decode what she was really saying. She was trying to express the pain she felt in our marriage. It took all night for me to understand what was behind her words. Her words were not respectful or loving, but what she was trying to say was deeper, and I began to decode that. I started off by telling her what I thought was behind what she said, and that it was her way of expressing the pain she felt. It started an hour-long discussion that ended up with my wife sitting in my lap with her arms around me, weeping and weeping. It was an emotional release of sorrow. It was a very sad time of grief, but it was healing. It was the first time that she had ever done that. This was the first time she felt that I had understood her. What did this husband do to get to this breakthrough point in his marriage? He stayed calm. He prayed for wisdom. He relaxed. And he adjusted his sunglasses. Instead of just seeing blue, he tried to see some pink. And his wife's pain became clear. As we saw in chapter 2, a key to decoding one another's messages is to be aware of her pink sunglasses and her pink hearing aids and his blue ones. But both spouses can adjust their lenses if they want to try. As another husband wrote to tell me, "I believe that the Holy Spirit is revealing," polite way of saying hit between the eyes with a 2x4, "my inability to decode. I see only through my own lenses and fail to see through hers. I fail to get behind her eyes." The crazy cycle can be slowed and stopped if only we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Chapter 6. She worries about being a hypocrite. He complains, "I get no respect." She had been married for 38 years and it hadn't been easy. Her husband had served in reconnaissance with the U.S. Marines in Vietnam and had returned with post-traumatic stress disorder. For years following the war, he dealt with his memories by being an overachiever, and he became very successful. Although a Christian, he eventually got into an affair and became an alcoholic, ruining his health. "He is unable to work," her letter continued. "He is away from the Lord. For years I've been stuck on the command for wives to respect their husbands. If the Lord said it, I believe it's true, but I did not want to be a hypocrite." Many wives find themselves in similar situations, and they often tell me that. While they want to be respectful and obedient to the Lord, they don't want to be hypocritical, going through motions that don't mean anything. Gently but firmly, I respond that I'm not asking wives to be hypocrites by respecting their husbands, even if they don't feel respectful. This isn't about feelings. It's about how wives can help control the crazy cycle by doing what the scriptures teach. Peter calls wives to respectful and chaste behavior in order to win husbands who are being disobedient to God's word. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Obviously, wives can go on winning the battles by attacking, criticizing, or lecturing husbands who are drinking, straying, or whatever their problems may be.
but they will eventually lose the war. And again, we're not talking about respecting this bad behavior. We're talking about respectfully confronting the behavior that's unacceptable to you. When a man is harsh, uncaring, or unaware, the wife can say he is unloving and needs to change, that he needs to correct himself, and I agree completely. Obviously, the man needs to understand her womanliness and need for love. If her spirit deflates and she becomes grieved, he is called to be a man of honor and serve her needs. But here's the rub. Such a man may be called, but he won't necessarily answer. At this point, a wife faces two basic choices. She can try to make personal adjustments and treat her husband respectfully according to what Scripture says, or she can continue with a sour look and negative, disrespectful attitude. She can continue to contend. If he feels disrespected, that's his problem. How can I feel respect for him when he's so unaware of me and my feelings? That'd be hypocritical. I understand why a wife could feel hypocritical about respecting a man who's been treating her badly. But to continue with disrespect only means shooting herself in both feet. Few wives have real malice in their hearts, by the way, but their negative emotions can get the better of them. The deepest yearning of their hearts for love is clouded by negativity. Not only do husbands feel they can never fulfill the wife's expectations of love, but now they feel disrespected for who they are as human beings. The typical man cannot put a voice to this, but he feels responsible to meet his wife's need for love and somehow try to meet his own need for respect. This kind of man shuts down in the face of it all. It is simply too overwhelming. Does the disrespected husband let his wife know how he feels? No. As a rule, a man doesn't complain and he doesn't cry. He simply grits his teeth and compartmentalizes his feelings. He may be dying inside, but he won't tell his wife for fear she'll say, "Well, you don't deserve my respect." So he grows silent. He withdraws. Possibly walks away in anger. She's won another battle, but she feels even more unloved. She feels caught. She doesn't feel any love coming from him, so showing respect for him seems phony. Besides, if she shows respect, she feels he will get his way. I asked one woman, "Are you afraid that your respectful manner and demeanor will lessen your chances of motivating your husband to change?" Here's her response. After pondering that, I have concluded that this is where the rubber hits the road. If I trust my feelings or previous experiences where contempt has seemed effective, I will be afraid to do it differently. If I step out in faith, claiming God's word as the basis for my action, then I am trusting God to bring to pass what he said he would do. I can't go wrong with that. I've determined that is the path I'm going to take, no matter how unfamiliar it seems. I say to her, amen. This wife gets it. Obeying God's word does not make a wife a powerless hypocrite. Actually, it makes her a woman who loves and reverences God. This can happen even in the most difficult situations. The lady whose letter opened this chapter put aside her fears of being a hypocrite and tried to be respectful to her husband. Her letter continues, "I am asking the Lord to show me ways to show my husband genuine respect. I've definitely seen a difference in his attitude toward me. I believe that more good things will come as I continue to show him unconditional respect. And after all, the Lord is responsible for the outcome. I have only to be obedient to him, and he will handle what concerns me." Exactly. We're not called to change everything or everyone. We are only called to be obedient, and God will handle it from there. I would never claim that this is simple and effortless. It takes tremendous faith, courage, and fortitude, but it can pay off in incredible ways. As one wife who read our love and respect materials learned, she writes, "It's amazing what can happen when a man feels respected. I knew that I needed to show unconditional respect for my husband whether I felt like it or not. I started going through the actions, even though the feelings weren't there. After a while, the feelings started to follow, especially now. My husband has been serving just as you said. This last weekend, we had our neighbors over for dinner, and my husband offered to cook the dinner. He also washed my car this weekend. He's never done that before. And out of his Christmas bonus, he gave me $500 to spend, no questions asked. He's also cleaned the kitchen and has done the dishes twice now. I've been sending him emails at work about once a week just to let him know I'm so thankful that because of him and this hard work, I can be a stay-at-home mom to our two children. I've made sure the house is clean and dinner is done when he gets home from work. I've also made sure that I'm not wearing sweats and looking ratty when he comes home. I'm more pleasant and excited." Trusting and obeying God's word because we love and reverence God never, ever makes us a hypocrite.
When the alarm goes off in the morning, for instance, we get up, right? Even when we don't feel like getting up. Because we do what we don't feel like doing, does that make us hypocrites? No. It's a sign we are responsible, mature people. Showing respectful behavior when we don't feel respectful is evidence of maturity, not hypocrisy. And again, it's that attitude of respect while you're addressing the issues that upset you. It's not respecting those things that upset you. Know the difference there. Refuse to play Rodney Dangerfield. Don't stonewall. To the husband who may sense that his wife thinks being respectful to him is hypocritical, my advice is this. Do not give up. And do not go into your well-worn Rodney Dangerfield mantra. I just don't get no respect. Instead, be a man of honor and move toward your wife, even if you are receiving what feels like verbal death blows. Call on that same sense of male honor that makes men willing to take a hit for their buddies in combat. Be willing to take a hit from your wife. You won't die, although at times, I have to say, death may seem preferable. You can be the mature one who makes the first move toward your wife, even though she has seriously wronged you. I'm not minimizing that. As you engage her, you can take the verbal death blows to stop the craziness. Yes, it will be hard and even humiliating. I get it. But you can win the heart of your wife. Scripture says in Proverbs 12:16, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Suppose your wife is being horribly disrespectful. There's no question that you have the right to be offended. But as a man of wisdom, you choose to conceal the dishonor. You hear God calling you to take a different approach, and you can do it. If you keep saying that you can't, then you will persuade yourself this is impossible. You must, as a man of honor, distinguish between I can't and I won't. I used to say I'll show her. In my own marriage, there was a season when it was important to me to get in tune to why I reacted to Sarah. As this notion of unconditional respect surfaced in my soul, I still felt embarrassed to say directly to her, I feel disrespected. That appeared to me to be self-centered, and admittedly, I was uncertain of Sarah's reply. Would she snap, well, you don't deserve respect? I don't recall her ever saying that, but I distinctly recall thinking it would be dangerous to express feelings of being disrespected. It was much easier for me to send my message indirectly in code by getting angry or going silent. In my anger, I was thinking, she can't treat me this way. I'll show her. So I withdrew. Strangely, that never seemed to work. I didn't realize it at the time, but because I wanted respect, I was trying to motivate her to be respectful by being unloving, sort of like trying to urge her to be more watchful by poking her in the eye with a sharp stick. There came a time, however, when I knew I had to be clear. I had to grow up and be more mature. But how could I respond to Sarah so she could get my real message? As a man of honor, I needed to introduce some kind of change. The phrase I came up with was, honey, that felt disrespectful. Did I just come across as unloving? I did not say, Sarah, you are a disrespectful black widow spider using your venom to devour me. Personal attacks never, ever work with anybody. The phrase, that felt disrespectful, removed the personal attack. I was not saying she was, in fact, a disrespectful person. I was only describing what I felt. My new approach allowed me to express my feelings without claiming Sarah was wrong and I was right. I could say to Sarah, I'm not saying I'm right for feeling this way, nor am I saying you caused me to feel this way. I'm only saying that I feel this way. I was not necessarily confessing these feelings were sinful, nor was I saying Sarah was an angel. The line, honey, that felt disrespectful, has many possible applications. Sometimes I needed to grow up and not personalize things Sarah did or said as disrespect. On other occasions, Sarah needed to be a little bit more positive about the man she married. But the icing on the cake is when I would add, did I just come across as unloving? This gave Sarah the benefit of the doubt, and often she returned the favor. Too many times in the past I had put her on the defensive. Countless times, Sarah had said in defeat, it's always me, I'm always to blame, you're always right, you never do wrong. But my new approach gave Sarah a break. I didn't say I was always right and could never be wrong. I owned up to my part of the blame, and for her, this was a breath of fresh air. Sarah quickly decided she loved hearing me say, "Honey, that felt disrespectful. Did I just come across as unloving?" Granted, these two sentences can feel a bit awkward for the first time or two you use them. They are forcing you to be transparent and even to lead with your chin in some respects. But if a couple wishes to address the deepest issues when conflicts arise, this gets to it very quickly. If a couple wants to get off the crazy cycle, this speeds up the process. It certainly has for us. True, there is a risk that Sarah might say, "Well, yes, I feel unloved because you are unloving and you don't deserve respect." Right? For most couples, that never happens, though. The power of these simple love and respect sentences is that both spouses feel affirmed at the level of deepest need. What usually happens is this. Sarah says, "Yes, I felt unloved, and I'm sorry for coming across so disrespectfully. Will you forgive me?" I reply, "Yes, will you forgive me for coming across as unloving?" She answers, "Of course," and it's over just that quickly. It works even on our bad days. Having said that, on any given day, Sarah and I can get nasty with each other. We get stubborn and pout. We can even raise our voices. I can give an evil glare. I'm good at that. I can shut down, refusing to talk. I'm even better at that. Sarah can stomp out of the room. We step on each other's air hoses, sometimes with gusto. But no matter what happens, we both have a firm commitment that we will get to our love and respect sentences before we go to bed. If I'm feeling disrespected, I tell her so and then ask if I've been unloving. If she's feeling unloved, she tells me so and asks if she's been disrespectful. The biblical teaching is Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." This works, and it works well. The struggle is in humbling yourself, authentically making these two brief statements, and then letting them lead to an honest discussion. If you don't want to see positive change in your marriage, you won't go there. But for me as a man, talking about feeling disrespected is in keeping with who I am. The love and respect message provides me an incentive to go there. And when I say to Sarah, "Did I come across as unloving?" she is invigorated to engage me in response. It works. If I can do it, so can you. As mature men, we need to take leadership and put this out on the table. We must acknowledge our feelings. We need to feel respected. Again, communicating to her, we need to feel respected for who we are in the image of God deep in her spirit. We're not asking her to respect our unacceptable behavior. However, as we do this, we must acknowledge our wife's feelings. She needs to feel loved. This is a fair and balanced approach that allows the two of you to unpack what really happened. Avoiding the whole thing time and again, or blowing up each time, remedies nothing. A spouse wrote, "We were able to talk about sticky situations without the discussion ending in a heated argument. That was the phenomenal part. And we both were laying it on the line as far as admitting to one another, 'Yes, that is how I felt all these years.' So we've begun this new level of learning together. I'm very excited. I already see my marriage improving dramatically. It was like a weight had been lifted from our very countenances when we conversed and came to all the realizations we had." Well, admittedly, this takes guts. One man told me, "I see my wife's anger and hate for me, and at times I just don't know how to deal with this. You know, I know that she's not asking for a lot, but I've never really been good at communicating with her and don't know how to start and then continue doing it. I'm tired of fighting with her. And many times I avoid communicating so that it does not escalate into an argument. She perceives my lack of communication as not caring or being dishonest with her. I just don't know why it comes so hard for me to do." Another husband put it this way, "Our disagreements are centered on her emotional outbursts and my lack of emotion. I love my wife and consider myself emotional about her. However, I try not to allow emotion to control me. I believe love is expressed with actions and not with reactions. I do love the emotion my wife has, and I know God has us together to love and respect each other as we seek to glorify Him. But I struggle when my wife justifies her behavior as an uncontrollable emotional reaction. I'm not looking for something to condemn her with. Instead, I would like to handle this." To both these husbands, I say, "Gentlemen, it is true you are not designed by God to enjoy contempt, but He does call you to take the hit." In his extensive research on marriages, Dr. John Gottman concluded that it was very effective when a husband could embrace his wife's anger. He advised men not to avoid conflict if they want to make their marriages work.
To sidestep the problem, to leave the conflict unresolved, would only upset the wife more. The husband must always remember that the wife must talk about what's eating her. As she vents her feelings, she believes she is keeping the marriage healthy and helping the relationship work more smoothly. She is not trying to attack her husband personally. If you stay with her through this discomfort and listen to her criticisms, says Gottman, she will calm down. If you stonewall, she'll be edgy and may escalate the conflict. My personal suggestion to fellow husbands is, instead of running from your wife, would you move toward her or let her move toward you, firing her venomous little darts as she comes? If you're ready to take the hit, you can stop the craziness. After she vents, you can lovingly say, "Honey, I love you. I don't want this. When you talk this way, I know you're feeling unloved. Let's work on this. I want to come across more lovingly, and I hope you would like to come across more respectfully." The husband who never stopped loving. One of the most striking examples of a husband who never stopped engaging his wife, even as she tried to deal their marriage a death blow, came to me in an email written by the wife after she and her husband had traveled 600 miles to attend one of our conferences. When they arrived at the conference, their marriage was held together by a tattered thread. They both agreed it was the best conference they had ever attended, but they went back home with the wife still feeling very negative about the marriage. She was still tired of her life and her husband, but her husband wouldn't give up, and the rest of her email tells the story. "We are still together today because for the past few months, he has done exactly what you talked about at your conference concerning his love regardless of her respect. He loved me when I was not lovable at all, and held on to our marriage and his family when there was absolutely nothing to hold on to. This past October, I asked him to please leave the house. I wanted to be alone. I wanted space. And I just felt like I didn't love him anymore. Reluctantly, he left for a couple weeks. I knew that my life and the life of the girls would drastically change with a divorce. I thought about the shared visitation and how we would also have to sell our home, which we recently finished remodeling. But I didn't care. I just wanted out. Meanwhile, he prayed, studied marriage books and tapes, and made a decision to love me no matter what. The girls were really starting to miss him, not being around, so we decided he would return home until further notice. Well, he would hold my hand every night and pray for me and for our marriage, as I stared up at the ceiling anxiously waiting for him to finish. He would leave little notes, or a little flower on the bathroom mirror, or in my car. So many little things he would do to show me that he loved me, and wasn't going to let this marriage end easily. It just irritated me. I thought, can't he understand that I don't love him? That I don't want to be with him anymore? Why is he trying so hard? I didn't feel that high in love feeling for him anymore. My needs weren't being met, so I wanted out. Very selfish and immature. I was emotionally going through something that neither of us really understood, but he stayed there and loved me through it. I'll spare you all the extra little details, but I eventually broke. No woman in her right mind could let go of that much love and commitment. Now, I am very much in love with my husband. I've learned that love is not a feeling, it's a choice, a commitment. We didn't become a statistic because my husband chose to love me no matter what my reaction toward him would be. It's really humbling to look back and see how loving and patient he was with me. Trust me, it wasn't easy. And how he, only through the strength of Christ, saved our marriage. I can't say we're completely out of the tunnel yet, but we are certainly very close. There is really little to add to this woman's story.